Okay, everyone, please take a seat. All right, Mr. Rose, if you can introduce the next speaker, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Chris Rose, and the next speaker is Ms. Arwen Wyatt-Mayer. As we said yesterday, Arwen is the supervisor of the unit and the program manager for the cannabis unit here at Region 3 in the Central Coast region. And of course, she is also the project manager for Ag Order 4.0, thank you. And to borrow a phrase from Mr. Tomich earlier, we're gonna now talk a little bit about that nitrogen leaking that we've been talking about a little bit this morning. And Arwen's presentation is titled Current Nitrogen Loading Based on Total Nitrogen Applied Information and Nitrogen Loading from Irrigation Water. And I'm now presenting Ms. Arwen Wyatt-Mayer.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Arwen Wyatt-Mayer, and as Chris just mentioned, I'm going to be continuing on with Item 8, Groundwater Quality Conditions and Agricultural Discharges, and the focus of my talk is going to be current nitrogen loading. So a quick outline of my talk today. First, I'm going to briefly review some of the conclusions from James Bishop's Groundwater Quality Conditions report that he gave yesterday. I'm going to run through some of the key messages of this presentation. I'm going to spend the majority of my time discussing current nitrogen waste discharges. Just as a point of clarification, this nitrogen waste discharge is sometimes referred to as residual nitrogen or nitrogen loading. They're used somewhat interchangeably, but in this presentation, I'm going to be referring to this as nitrogen waste discharge. And then finally, I'm going to end on some methods to reduce nitrogen waste discharge that growers can implement now. So, quick groundwater quality conditions review. This is one of the maps that James Bishop showed yesterday. In this map, we see domestic well exceedances throughout the region. These are the domestic wells sampled through the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program, on-farm domestic wells. And what we see here, as James pointed out, is in our agriculturally dominated basins, such as the Salinas Valley, we're seeing over 50% of the domestic wells exceeding the drinking water MCL. In Santa Maria, another heavily agricultural groundwater basin, we're seeing between 40 and 50% of domestic wells in exceedance of the MCL. And up in the Pajaro, Gilroy, Hollister area, we're seeing in the 30 to 40% range of exceedance in these shallow domestic wells. So the main point of
this is the MCL of 10?
Yes.
45?
Okay. Yes. And those numbers on the right that correspond to the colors, those are percent exceedances. So this is not the concentration of the wells, it's just showing whether or not they're exceeding the MCL. So the main conclusion from this analysis and from several of the other analyses that James performed is that groundwater contamination by nitrate is widespread throughout the region and is severe. This is another map that James showed. I won't spend too much time on this one. Briefly, how you read this one, just to remind you, is dark red dots mean that the well's concentration is increasing rapidly. Dark blue dots indicate that the well's concentration is decreasing rapidly, and the size of the dot corresponds to the median nitrate concentration. So where we see large red dots, that means the median concentration is high and increasing rapidly. Where we see large dark blue dots, that means the median concentration is high and decreasing rapidly. These wells that James analyzed in this region-wide trend analysis were public supply wells, largely because of the requirements needed to perform this trend analysis. We needed to have enough data points in the well. So I just wanted to remind you of that. And what we saw with this analysis is that nitrate concentrations are increasing in many wells and in many basins in our region. So those were the key messages of James's talk yesterday. Nitrate contamination in groundwater is widespread and severe, and in many areas, it's increasing. The key messages from my presentation today are as follows. Nitrogen application data reported by a subset of ranches largely located in those impaired and worsening basins show the following. The average current nitrogen waste discharge is about 10 times greater than what would be protective of water quality. I'll provide some context to that 10 times greater statement as I work through this presentation. With that 10 times greater than what would be protective of water quality, we see that the overall amount of current nitrogen waste discharge is causing and contributing to the severe groundwater degradation that we see and to the increasing groundwater degradation that we see. Another really important message that I'm going to convey in today's talk is that significant reductions in nitrogen waste discharge are absolutely possible. And I'll touch on a few methods for reducing nitrogen waste discharges as I walk through this presentation. Next section is current nitrogen waste discharge. So here's a quick little animation I put together. The color looks a little off. I don't know. The ground should be more brown colored to look like earth. So this animation is, well, one thing I want to say about it is that this is not meant to represent the entire nitrogen cycle. As Dr. Tomich showed earlier in a simplified version of the nitrogen cycle, it is very complex. There are a lot of ins and outs to the nitrogen cycle. What I'm focusing on here are the largest inputs and outputs that we are looking, that we've been analyzing, looking at, and that we have authority to regulate. So first we have the inputs. This is fertilizer and compost nitrogen applied, and irrigation water nitrogen applied. That's what those little blobs represent. Those are applied to the system. Some amount of that nitrogen is taken up by the crops as they grow. Next comes the harvest of the crop. In our region, for our crops, our vegetable crops, typically about half of the nitrogen-containing crop material is removed at harvest, and about half remains in the field, remaining in the system as crop residue. Over time, that mineralizes in the soil and is available to either be taken up by the next crop or to leach to groundwater. So this blob down here is what I'm focusing on today. This is what we call nitrogen waste discharge. What we just looked at was the total amount of nitrogen applied, fertilizer, irrigation water, all the nitrogen that was applied to the system, the total of amount of nitrogen that was removed from the system at harvest, and the remaining amount applied minus removed is that which is available to leak or leach or move to groundwater. This histogram represents a calculation of the current amount of annual nitrogen waste discharge based on total nitrogen applied reporting information in our region. So I'll quickly walk you through how to read this, this histogram. Oh, first I want to make one point that histograms that we've shown you in the past were nitrogen applied to specific crops. They look really similar to this one, but they're fundamentally different in that those were nitrogen application. This one represents nitrogen applied minus removed, so this one represents the actual discharge that I just showed you in that animation. So I just wanted to make it clear that this is a different histogram from the ones that we've looked at in the past.
Is this an actual or a sample is this actual data that
yes.
we're seeing here?
Yes. Okay. So this is, and I'll walk you through the calculation a little later in the presentation, but this is based on the 3 years of total nitrogen applied reporting, 2014, 15, 16, and our research-based estimates for removal.
Okay.
So this is based on our actual total nitrogen applied data. So in terms of how to read this histogram, we'll look at that little peak, and we look to the y-axis, and we see that about 7,500 acres had a nitrogen waste discharge between 180 and 200 pounds per acre. So this is the average of the nitrogen waste discharges based on all of our 2014 through 2016 total nitrogen applied reporting, and the average value comes in at about 346 pounds per acre nitrogen waste discharge. And again, we'll talk more about what that number means as I work through the presentation. Yes?
So can you, bear with me, can you repeat that again? So the 180 to 200 is what?
That's the amount in pounds per acre of nitrogen waste discharge. So remember that blob down at the bottom
yeah.
in the animation? That's yeah. how much is being discharged from that ranch, from each acre of a given ranch.
From a given ranch. Okay, so that one bar represents one ranch?
Oh, that the y-axis represents acres. Yes, you're correct. So that's from this many acres, from 7,500 acres
okay.
in our region, between 180 and 200 pounds of nitrogen per acre were discharged.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so now I'll walk us through how that calculation is performed. So it's based again on the total nitrogen applied reporting. As I mentioned, this has been reported annually since 2014. The information in this presentation covers 2014, 15, and 16 reports. The reports submitted earlier this year are not included. We haven't finished processing those ones yet. So this is 3 years of data. Over 600 ranches reported each year, representing over 117,000 of our irrigated acres enrolled in our region. As a quick reminder, this requirement was expanded in Ag Order 3.0 to about 1,800 ranches, and we expect about half of the irrigated acres to be covered. These reports have covered primarily high-risk crops. High-risk crops include lettuce, broccoli, cauliflower, spinach, celery, strawberries, and other crops, but between these six crops, we have about 80% of all of the total nitrogen applied reporting covered. So these are the main crops that are grown and reported on in our region. This is grower-reported information on the total amount of nitrogen that is applied to a ranch. So grower-reported information on fertilizer applications, compost, amendments, any other nitrogen-containing materials that are applied to the ranch, and the nitrogen applied through the irrigation water. And then I also want to mention that harvest removal values are not currently reported to the Central Coast Water Board. I'll talk more about those in a minute. So here's a quick map showing the locations of all the ranches that have submitted total nitrogen applied reports from 2014 through 2016. What we see here is that we have pretty good coverage in our groundwater basins where we have the most impairment from nitrate. So that's the Salinas Valley, Santa Maria, Pajaro, Gilroy Hollister areas. Within each of these areas, we have actually a significant percentage of coverage of the high-risk crops. For example, in the Salinas Valley, about 50% of the high-risk crop acres are actually reported on currently and will be covered in this talk. So some of the analyses that we perform using this total nitrogen applied information. The first analysis that we've performed is a comparison of the nitrogen applied to the crop uptake. Those are the crop application histograms that we've shown you in the past with those two orange bars representing the crop's typical uptake range. I'll show one of those in a minute just to kind of make a couple points with that. But this is one of the analyses that we look at. We use research-based values for the uptake ranges to provide context about what these application rates mean. Is it high? Is it low? Does it make sense? So we use these research-based values to provide context. This analysis is also crop-specific in that we look at all lettuce crops together. We look at all broccoli crops together. We don't compare lettuce crops and broccoli crops to each other because they have different uptake ranges, different management practices. They're just different crops. We look at the amount of nitrogen applied from all sources to each of the crops. And then, so those are our main calculations and analyses that we've shared with the board in the past. Today, the focus of my talk is the comparison of nitrogen applied versus harvest removal. So this, again, is the calculation of nitrogen waste discharge. Yeah.
So just out of curiosity, so like for lettuce, I don't know if the growers report romaine, leaf lettuce, iceberg lettuce separately or not, or do they just report it as lettuce?
They do report those separately. We have some general categories for the lettuce crops, or they can choose to report them more specifically. So the general categories are leaf lettuce, head lettuce, baby lettuce, and then they can also choose to report further, like romaine, iceberg.
I assume we use different values for crop uptake and for harvest removal depending on the type of lettuce?
Yes, so head lettuce and leaf lettuce do have different uptake ranges based on the literature, and so when we're doing the full analysis behind the scenes, we do look at each of those specific research-based uptake ranges. The removal rates, I believe, are about the same for those crops, so when we have different information, we use different information, but in this case, the removal is about the same. Okay, so this comparison of nitrogen applied to harvest removed, again, the calculation of waste discharge. Similar to using research-based values for the crop uptake ranges, we rely on research-based values for harvest removal rates. This information is not reported as part of the total nitrogen applied reporting. The harvest removal rates that we use are the maximum removal rate reported in these peer-reviewed reports. We don't use the minimum, we don't use the average, we're using the maximum removal rate to calculate a conservative estimate of the amount of nitrogen waste discharge. When we perform this calculation, yes?
And I assume that they're reporting how many crops a year on a field and that we're multiplying it out for...
Yes. They report, for example, how many acres of lettuce they grew, and so when you have a pounds per acre removal rate, you multiply out the pounds per acre by the acres and you get the total removal.
So if they grew three rotations of lettuce on a field in the course of a year, mm-hmm. then they would report that as three separate reports, or?
They can, or they can report it as one line in the report, but they would report all those acres that they harvested.
So if they grew three rotations on 100 acres, they'd report that as 300 acres
yes.
of lettuce?
Yes. And we'd take that into account when we're performing the removal calculation. So this removal, or this nitrogen applied minus nitrogen removed, is calculated for the entire ranch. We do it crop by crop because we have these crop-specific removal rates, and then we sum it up for the entire ranch. And again, we look at the amount of nitrogen applied from all sources because this is a calculation of nitrogen waste discharge. So this, as I mentioned, is one of the crop application histograms that we've shown the board in the past. I'm not going to spend too much time on this one. I just wanted to point out that these orange lines, again, represent the crop uptake ranges for, in this case, lettuce. So we see lettuce has an uptake range of 120 to 170 pounds of nitrogen per acre. and about 14% of these lettuce acres received less nitrogen than the maximum uptake of each individual crop, and about 86% of the lettuce acres received more nitrogen than the maximum crop uptake ability. So the main point that I'm making with this graph is that there is room for improvement in terms of aligning the amount of nitrogen that is applied to a crop with the amount that the crop actually needs to grow and is able to uptake from the soil. Next, I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about irrigation water nitrogen and the amount of nitrogen that is applied with the irrigation water based on the total nitrogen applied reporting data in our region. So I'll remind the board of Dr. Michael Kahn's presentation from December 2017. One of the key findings from some of the trials that he performed were that the trials clearly demonstrated that irrigation water nitrate was at least as effectively used by the crop as fertilizer nitrogen. That is, irrigation water nitrogen is bioavailable. So the pump and fertilize practice is where the grower measures the amount of nitrogen in their irrigation water, calculates out how much nitrogen is being applied to their ranch through that irrigation water, and reduces the amount of fertilizer nitrogen that they apply accordingly. And this can help to reduce nitrogen waste discharge. I will note that the feasibility of pump and fertilize depends on many factors, including on the irrigation water nitrate concentration. If a grower has 0 mg/L in their irrigation water, pump and fertilize is not a practice that they could use to reduce their nitrogen waste discharge. So now we're going to take a look at the
Arwen, can I?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. So pump and fertilize is feasible, but it depends on whether or not there's nitrogen available in the irrigation water. But I think that's simplifying it down, maybe just because of your approach in this presentation, but there are other factors that complicate it.
Yes, there can be. So I'm presenting this as one practice that growers can use depending on their situation, on their site, to potentially reduce their nitrogen waste discharge. They would need to evaluate this one practice for themselves to determine if it's feasible for them based on their situation.
Right. So I just wanted to make sure that we're all on the same page, that there are many more factors that are involved for that irrigation water to be considered viable for the operation.
Yes, but I will again point back to Michael Kahn's research, which found that it is bioavailable.
Yes.
And his concluding statements was also that growers can and should account for that, for the amount of nitrogen they're applying with their irrigation water in their crop nutrient budget.
Okay. Yep.
So part of this is defeating that myth. You know, these myths take on lives of their own. And defeating that myth that this is the nitrogen in groundwater is not bioavailable. You have preeminent scientists from UC Cooperative Extension saying that that nitrate is bioavailable.
So I might be showing off my ignorance, but I'm also remembering that in these discussions, soil type is a factor, and the crop type is a factor. So we're looking at, in this example that we just saw, we're just talking about lettuce, but other crop types respond differently to irrigation or irrigation with nitrate in it. Do I have that wrong?
I think the conclusion of his study was simply that it is bioavailable and crops can take it up. There may be other confounding factors depending on the site that are inhibiting the crop's ability to take up water in general.
That's what I'm getting at.
That's kind of a different issue, and it doesn't have to do with the availability of the bioavailability of the nitrate so much as other factors that are affecting the crop's health.
Right, and what I'm getting at there is there are other factors that contribute to the risk that the farmer takes in relying on use of irrigation water that has nitrogen.
There can be.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that, I just want to make sure that's kind of in the context.
Didn't Dr. Kahn also say something about that it depended on the stage of plant development? How, I'm digging deep in my memory and so, I may be mistaken.
Yeah, so what he mentioned, and which is absolutely true, is that at different stages in the crop's life, like when the crop is a little baby crop, it has very small roots, you're applying irrigation water, but the crop doesn't have much ability to take up the nitrogen yet. It doesn't need the nitrogen yet. So at that point, it may not be able to take it up, but it's again, not about the bioavailability of the nitrate in the water, it's that the crop doesn't need the nitrogen at that point. And so when growers are actually budgeting, they're creating their nutrient budget, they would need to account for that and say, okay, well, I know that my crop doesn't need all the nitrogen that I'm applying with the irrigation water at this point, but I can still make reductions in my fertilizer applications elsewhere in the crop's growing cycle. That's what this is all about, that there are, they can account for it and make fertilizer reductions. The exact timing of their accounting will be up to the grower to determine.
Right, so if we're counting all the nitrogen in irrigation water, while it may, if it's applied early in the plant's life cycle, it may simply, there's no control over the fact that it may simply go down below the root zone anyways. It's a very shallow root zone at that point. Okay, I'm just trying to get my head around what the theoretical limit of efficiency is here.
Well, and I do think part of that goes to irrigation management. So you don't want to over-irrigate when you have a small crop with small roots. Bill Green is going to talk more about irrigation management, so I won't get into that, but I would say that they're very much connected, and that's another management practice that growers should be employing, proper irrigation management to reduce nitrogen waste discharges and to properly utilize the pump and fertilize practice.
And then what's... Testing? Okay. I was going to also to supplement, you know, Mike's comment is that you have the opposite, is that there are certain crops at maturity of fruiting where you do not want to apply additional nitrogen. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a specific crop example, and those are raspberries crop, where at a certain size of formation of a berry, you actually want to pull back nitrogen application, not adding more. So back a little bit to, you know, the comments of my colleagues. I mean, I can look at this as being, you know, something available in the toolbox, but it has to be done, it has to be site specific. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what we're all trying to say here, mm-hmm, and agree on. Mm-hmm.
So in this slide, I'm going to briefly run through the amount of nitrogen that is applied or can be applied with the irrigation water based on the total nitrogen applied reporting. So in this pie chart, we see different ranges of irrigation water nitrate concentrations. What we see is about 32% of ranches had between 0 and 10 milligrams per liter nitrate as nitrogen concentration in their irrigation water, or between 0 and the drinking water MCL. About 24% of ranches had between 10 milligrams per liter and 20 milligrams per liter, or between the MCL and twice the MCL, and so on up to the top of the graph, where we see that about 2% of ranches reported having more than 100 milligrams per liter in their irrigation water, which is over 10 times the MCL.
So do we have any sense of how many of them have, like, a choice? I mean, we heard yesterday from the Santa Maria grower shippers about the question of using shallow or deeper groundwater wells, and I don't know how often growers really have the plumbing to do that, have kind of the well options and all of that on the same parcel. Do we have any sense?
I know that many ranches in our region report having many irrigation wells. They're required to report the total number of domestic and irrigation wells in the electronic notice of intent, the ranch information page that they submit to us. They're not required to sample all of those irrigation wells, but they do report on presence, absence of them. And so I don't know exact numbers, exact breakdowns. I know some ranches have only one irrigation well, some don't have an irrigation well, and they're getting their irrigation water from another source, and some have many, many irrigation wells.
We don't know. Okay.
Yeah. But the focus here is looking at how much nitrogen is applied with the irrigation water, because when we're doing our nitrogen applied minus nitrogen removed equals nitrogen waste discharge calculation, we're looking at the amount of nitrogen that was applied in the irrigation water, regardless of the timing of the application. So in this table on the right, we're looking at 1 acre foot of water. And just to kind of give a little more background, based on the total nitrogen applied reporting information, typically growers in our region to the crops that they are reporting on in the total nitrogen applied reporting apply most of them about 1 to 2 acre feet in that range of water. So if we're looking at 1 acre foot of water at 10 milligrams per liter, that gives us 27 pounds per acre of nitrogen applied with the irrigation water. Now, remembering back to the lettuce histogram that I showed earlier, where the lettuce uptake range is from 120 to 170 pounds per acre, 27 pounds is about 16% of that 170 pounds. So that's not an insignificant amount of nitrogen. And even at 10 milligrams per liter, this could be accounted for in the nutrient budget. That's kind of the point I'm trying to get across here. And then, of course, as the irrigation water nitrate concentration increases, the total amount of nitrogen applied with the irrigation water also increases. So down at the bottom at 100 milligrams per liter, and we have 2% of ranches submitting total nitrogen applied reports reporting over 100 milligrams per liter in their irrigation water, we see that 272 pounds of nitrogen per acre is applied, which again, remembering back to that lettuce maximum uptake of 170 pounds per acre, is about 1.5 times that crop's entire nutrient needs, nutrient uptake ability. So as you mentioned, there are other factors, including the timing and how, where the crop is in its growth stage, but I'm just trying to demonstrate how much nitrogen is applied to each of these crops, or is applied with a given volume of water, excuse me. So as the concentration of the irrigation water increases, the amount of nitrogen applied increases, and then also as the volume of water applied increases, the amount of nitrogen applied also increases. So the main point that I'm trying to make here is that pump and fertilize is a practice that growers could use to some extent, depending on their ranch, depending on their situation, but this is a practice that they could use based on the total amount of nitrogen that is applied to reduce their fertilizer applications and reduce their ultimate amount of nitrogen waste discharge. Okay. Now, a little bit of more background on the calculation of the nitrogen waste discharge based on applied minus removed. So this is sometimes referred to as the AR metric, this is a basic calculation, and it's based on the state board metric that was recently adopted in their Eastern San Joaquin order and was described as being precedential for all regions in the state. And in their A applied, they include all sources of nitrogen, so basically our total nitrogen applied reporting, which includes fertilizer, compost, and irrigation water. As I mentioned, A is currently reported through total nitrogen applied. R, removal, is not currently reported. So again, when we're doing these calculations of A minus R, we're using the maximum research-based values as a proxy for the harvest removal. So I'll run through one quick example of the calculation of A minus R for one lettuce crop. I will note that In our region, growers typically grow more than one crop, or vegetable growers typically grow more than one crop on a given acre during the year, and they'll also grow typically many different crops throughout their ranch. So this is a simplified example just to demonstrate the A minus R calculation. So in this example, 170 pounds per acre is applied in fertilizers, 100 pounds per acre is applied in irrigation water. So the total amount of nitrogen applied is 170 plus 100 equals 270 pounds per acre nitrogen applied. The harvest removal value that we use based on literature for lettuce is 80 pounds per acre. So removed R is 80 pounds per acre. A minus R, 270 minus 80 equals 190 pounds per acre nitrogen waste discharge. But what does that actually mean? What does that number mean? To understand that, we need a little bit of context. The 2012 UC Davis nitrate report identified a loading value that they found would be protective of water quality. They called this an operational benchmark. The number that they identified is 31 pounds per acre nitrogen waste discharge. So again, this value serves the purpose of providing us with context for understanding these nitrogen waste discharge rates that we're calculating and we're seeing based on the total nitrogen applied reporting in our region. Yes?
So just to be clear, I think that's what your next point is, but the 31 pounds operational benchmark, we should be looking at that in comparison to the 190 pounds.
That's, yes.
Of nitrogen waste discharge.
Yes, so from the previous.
From a lettuce field.
From the lettuce field in my example.
In your example.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So, from the lettuce example, 190 pounds, when we compare it to this operational benchmark, we see that it's about six times the 31 value, which would indicate that this amount of nitrogen waste discharge is not protective of water quality.
So the basis of that 31-pound number, which would be irrespective of crop, right?
Yes.
The basis of that 31-pound number, is that a calculation that says some portion of it will be discharged to the air, some portion of it will be, there will be some denitrification, microbial denitrification. Is that the basis of that?
It does include some amount of denitrification, just to give you a little bit of background on some parts of the calculation. 27 pounds of nitrogen would increase the concentration in 1 acre foot of water to 10 milligrams per liter. So basically, and I'm sure there was more research and more math behind this, but basically they added about 4 pounds for the denitrification that occurs in the in shallow groundwater and in the deep vadose zone is what they mentioned in their report. So they do include some amount of denitrification.
Okay, I still don't understand then this 31 pounds per acre number. So if it's based on, that's a number that would increase an acre foot of water by 10 parts per million?
So when they created this operational benchmark, they were just looking at the MCL.
So, but that assumes that the groundwater is clean to start with, right?
Well, I don't know that that's exactly how they did that calculation, that they were assuming that it's clean to start with. Or do you mean that this won't clean it up if the discharge occurs at this rate?
If it's of groundwater quality, I don't get it, I guess. If you're putting in enough nitrogen, the 27 pounds, you know, minus denitrification, to add 10 parts per million per acre foot of water, I don't understand how that translates to being protective of water quality. I'd like to you may not be prepared to answer this now, but at some point, if we're going to use that number, I'd like to understand a little more what it means.
Okay. Okay, so back to the nitrogen waste discharge histogram that I showed earlier. This is where the operational benchmark falls, the 31 pounds per acre nitrogen waste discharge. And what we see is that 98% of the acres reporting total nitrogen applied had nitrogen waste discharges in excess of the operational benchmark. This next dotted line represents 10 times the operational benchmark, or 310 pounds per acre. And what we see is that about half of the acres reporting total nitrogen applied had nitrogen waste discharges greater than 10 times the operational benchmark. This third line represents 20 times the operational benchmark, or 620 pounds per acre. And we see that about 9% of the ranches reporting total nitrogen applied had nitrogen waste discharges greater than 20 times the operational benchmark.
Arwen, I don't want you to feel that I'm beating a dead horse, but I just really want to make sure the context is correct. So are we talking, we're still talking about a typical field of lettuce?
This is not specific to lettuce in this histogram. This is the calculation that we performed for the entire ranch.
Okay.
For every one of the ranches that reported total nitrogen applied.
Okay. And so, as Mr. Johnston noted, the 31 pounds per acre is irrespective of the crop type.
Yes.
And so, but if we were to dig deeper and isolate a crop type, we would have a different histogram. We would be looking at like a strawberry histogram or a broccoli histogram, or we would really want to do that to actually understand different best practices for different farm, for different sites, different farm crops.
So one challenge with that is something that we could look at. We may not want to, because especially in systems where you're growing many crops on the same acre, some amount of the nitrogen that was applied to the first crop, or that residual nitrogen left over in the crop material that was not harvested, and then it gets remineralized
and
is available to the next crop,
right.
That if the grower is accounting for that residual nitrogen in their following crop, they could actually apply less fertilizer nitrogen. So really we want to look at the annual amount of nitrogen waste discharge so that we're accounting for all of that, for the whole system that is occurring.
So tell me something then about the total nitrogen applied report. Does the report allow the farmer to take into consideration what the prior crop was and give an estimate of what the remaining nitrogen waste discharge might be? So if it moves from strawberries or broccoli to lettuce.
So the timing and the order of the crops that are grown is not included in the total nitrogen applied report. When we receive the report, we don't know what crop came before which, and part of that is because of the complication where you might be growing lettuce on part of your ranch in the spring, and then in the fall you're growing it somewhere else, so it might not be a straight line, this crop, then that crop. Part of the total nitrogen applied reporting requirement is to measure the soil nitrate, the content of the nitrogen in the soil at least once during the year.
Okay.
So we are trying to encourage that management practice of measuring and accounting for and reducing fertilizer applications based on the soil nitrogen content.
In an ideal world, and maybe this is for the farmers to answer, would they be actually taking that measurement prior to moving from one crop to the next crop so that they're actually working within the reality of what is happening at the point of planting a new crop?
So how we recommend they choose the timing of taking the soil test is when they're going to make a fertilizer decision for the next crop. So there are some complicating factors in that It can take time for the residual crop material to mineralize and become available for the next crop. So it isn't necessarily that you measure the soil nitrogen content right at harvest, and then that, and then you account for that amount. There is a little more to it than that.
Got it.
But it's a good management practice.
Got it. Okay, that helps. Thank you.
Yeah. And so again, back to the histogram, the average nitrogen waste discharge based on total nitrogen applied reporting for the ranches that submitted that reporting was 346 pounds per acre, which is greater than 10 times the operational benchmark. So now I'm going to touch on a few methods that are available to growers to reduce their nitrogen waste discharge. One method is to match the amount of nitrogen that is applied with the crop uptake. As we saw in the lettuce histogram, there is a significant amount of room for improvement in terms of matching application and uptake. Another method is to utilize the practice of pump and fertilize, where the grower would account for the amount of nitrogen that is applied in the irrigation water and reduce the amount of fertilizer that is applied, thereby reducing their overall nitrogen waste discharge. Another method that I just touched on just now with the soil sampling is that they can account for the residual nitrogen that's left in the field after the previous crop, again, reducing the amount of fertilizer nitrogen that they apply to the subsequent crop and reducing their overall annual nitrogen waste discharge. Key to all of these practices and to managing and minimizing waste discharges in general is irrigation water management. Irrigation water is the driver for, the primary driver for leaching of nitrogen below the root zone, leaching of other wastes such as pesticides below the root zone into groundwater, and it's also a driver for irrigation runoff to surface water. So managing your irrigation scheduling is critical to reducing your overall nitrogen waste discharge.
Would you agree that this is only a partial list?
Yes, that is what my fifth bullet is attempting to say, is that this is in no way meant to be an exhaustive list. These are a few practices that I could come up with for methods to reduce nitrogen waste discharge. There are certainly more practices available.
Yeah, such as second crop. Often you do have crops which do not have the aesthetics suitable for this produce to be sold, you know, to the public in stores, et cetera. But you do have second harvest where some of these blemished crop are provided to food banks, for example. There are several very successful programs in the Central Coast. Mm-hmm. Another example is what we discussed earlier is your healthy soil management. Just one of them.
Yep, absolutely. Those up. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so I'm to my conclusion slide. So as James Bishop mentioned yesterday, groundwater nitrate contamination is widespread and severe, and degradation is increasing in many areas. As we discussed today, nitrogen application data reported by a subset of ranches largely located in impaired and worsening basins show that the average current nitrogen waste discharge is 10 times greater than what would be protective of water quality. And based on this, the overall amount of current nitrogen waste discharge is causing and contributing to increasing groundwater degradation. However, significant reductions in nitrogen waste discharge are possible. And I touched on just a few practices that growers can employ to reduce their nitrogen waste discharge.
So, significant reductions in nitrogen waste discharge are possible. And you showed us a slide that 50% of the reporting acres were we're discharging 10 times more than the, I forget the term for that 31 pounds per acre.
Operational benchmark.
And scientists hate when you ask them to actually estimate. But what if, I mean, what's your just kind of off the cuff opinion as to what amount of reduction, given our current understanding of best practices, is possible here on the Central Coast? I mean, understanding 100% efficiency is damn near impossible. You know, you apply fertilizer and then it unexpectedly rains, or, you know, you have no choice but to irrigate the seedlings, which need water, with water that has nitrates in it, and they're not going to uptake much of it because of their limited root structure. So what do you think is realistic?
I think that would be a big analysis to be performed, and that we could perform pieces of it. I think it really depends on the site to understand which practices would be feasible for them and how much reduction would be feasible. I will say, though, that while 50% of the acres are above 10 times the operational benchmark, 50% are also below 10 times the operational benchmark. So some people out there do have lower waste discharges right now.
Well, and some acres showed that there was less nitrogen applied than the plants would uptake, too. So some of that's going to be noise. But it was a little discouraging to me to hear from our previous presenter that if we applied all of the currently known remedial measures without any regard to cost, that we could deal with 50% of the problem. Now, I realize that was not a Central Coast-specific analysis, but it was still kind of discouraging. So I'm just trying to get a handle.
Yeah, I don't know the exact amount that we could expect to see, but reductions certainly are possible. Well, that's it for my presentation. My final bullet is simply that we are continuing to develop regulatory options to bring to the board for Ag Order 4.0 in September. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So at this time, we will we'll take a break. We'll have a closed session. Mr. Yar, how much time do you need? One hour?
Yeah, I would say 1 hour at the maximum.
Okay. All right, so let's reconvene in 1 hour.
I just need to announce our closed session.
Please
we'll
do.
Be discussing item six.
Thank you very much.